everybody, this is The Simpsons Show. I am Robbie with my co-host Matt, and we are here to talk about The Simpsons from the beginning. Matt, how are you doing?
I'm great, and I feel like losing a little money.
Well, I can help you with that.
I'm not lucky.
Just give it to me.
But I want to give it to a casino for the very tiny chance that I will actually win money.
I mean, you play blackjack, your odds are a little bit better.
That's
true. If you're a good blackjack player, your odds are almost 50-50.
Ooh, 50-50. I like the sound of that.
I mean, the best blackjack players probably end up making money in the long run. And you can always play poker, which is not relying on the house whatsoever.
That's true, but I am really bad at all card games, so maybe I should just, throw my money down a sewer.
We are brought to you by our supporters on Patreon. You can support us by going to patreon.com/TheSimpsonsShow. We are ad-free because of this. We'll never have an advertisement except for, us. By the time you hear this, there'll be a new episode review up on about Lisa with an S. I'm still writing weekly articles. A bonus episode just got posted last week about Planet Simpson. We're within range of making moon waffles.
Oh God, I'm so excited.
Moon waffles, yeah. We'll be living the dream, Matt. Living the dream. Paid to eat
the
moon
very
waffles.
Buttery dream.
Yeah, very lots of butter. We have a couple new people to thank. Matt?
We do? Yay!
We do. Paul Simmons? Paul Siemens? One of those? I'm always unsure when there's an IE in a person's name, but Paul Simmons. Thank you.
Thank you, Paul.
And Mary Figg. Thank you, Mary.
Mary, you rock.
Both of you guys, thank you very much for getting us closer to our next goal, and thank you to all of our Patreon backers. If you think the show is worth $3, we'd appreciate it if you threw it our way. Also, if you want to help us in another way, you can go on iTunes or wherever you listen to us. Give us a review, give us a 5-star review, subscribe to us, all that good stuff really helps us out, helps new people find the show. We really appreciate that. And of course, you recommending us to your friends or fellow Simpsons fans also helps. This week's episode is, I guess you would still say Springfield, right? Even if it's a dollar sign. Springfield with a dollar sign.
Yeah.
Or How I Learned to Stop Worrying and Love Legalized Gambling. It's a reference to Dr. Strangelove, episode 1F08, originally aired December 16th, 1993, written by Bill Oakley and Josh Weinstein, directed by Wes Archer. Finished 35th in the ratings, Nielsen rating 11.7, translating to approximately 11 million viewing households, highest rated show on Fox that week. The chalkboard gag, I will not say Springfield just to get applause. That's cheap pop. They call that.
It only works at Springfield. No one else will care.
No, it works. It's a cheap pop in wrestling terms, Matt.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
Mick Foley. I'm a big fan of Foley. He's kind of well known for every time he shows up at a place, first thing he says is the name of the town and everyone applauds. Because everyone does that. The couch gag. Family runs into the couch. Runs, I guess, into each other. And they shatter into little pieces.
Yeah, starting to get a little creative.
Yeah, it's not bad. Guest stars both Jerry Cooney and Robert Goulet as themselves. Jerry Cooney is a former boxer. Robert Goulet is, of course, a singer-entertainer. The episode begins with us watching an old newsreel. It's 50s-style newsreel, I would guess. It seems very
Forties, 50s.
Yeah, post-war, that'd be my guess. I guess if there was war clips in it, it could be, in the 40s. So it's maybe late 40s. After.
That's true. The economic boom seems to be, recently post-war.
Yeah. But we get a glimpse of a city on the grow.
Springfield, city on the grow. It's a proud day as Springfield is declared one of America's 400 fastest growing cities. And why not? Business is booming. Half the country wears Springfield galoshes. And say hello to the state's first aquacar factory. Keep them coming, boys. The city's even in the celebrity business. Everyone knows Professor Rubbermouth hails from Springfield. Everybody's chipping in. Even this fella has Springfield's can-do spirit. So watch out, Utica. Springfield is a city on the grow.
So
everything that made Springfield great is, one of those things no one uses anymore.
Galoshes, aqua cars.
Apparently it was very wet in Springfield in the old days.
People still use galoshes.
I guess in some parts of the world they do.
Some parts of the world. Oh, not in America.
Well, I don't know. America is part of the world, Robbie.
Okay. Children wear galoshes at times, man. I think. Maybe. Play around the rain, you gotta wear put on galoshes.
Sure, okay. But I stay away from the rain. I'm old.
Fair. You are made of sugar. You will melt. Grandpa and Jasper are in the theater, apparently, in the past. And then we segue into the present, where they're old and complaining. And we kind of get a glimpse of the Springfield as kind of an awful place.
It's true, because it used to be, the roads used to be paved with gold, and now they're just crumbling asphalt.
Yeah, and
downgrade.
You know, we get glimpses of, like, the Springfield porn theaters, and, like, the, you know, the less nice side, of the less of suburbia kind of feel we get with the Simpsons home, and more of, like, hey, this is, like, a crumbling downtown kind of gross, dismal area to live. They kind of did that on purpose, you know, listening to the, you know, commentary and what they've said about this episode. It's like, they wanted to make Springfield look less nice.
It's true. In certain episodes, they try to make Springfield seem really nice. In other episodes, they're just like, yeah, Springfield's a dump.
And, we cut to the nuclear plant. Homer has found glasses in the toilet. And instead of leaving them, like a sane person would do, he grabs them out of the toilet. Apparently they make him... putting on glasses makes you smarter, Matt. Did you know that?
I did, actually. Contacts less so, but still a little bit. I mean, Homer, you know, tries to bust out the formula for a right triangle and fails, because it's Homer.
He does.
The sum of the square roots of any two sides of an isosceles triangle is equal to the square root of the remaining side.
That's a right triangle, you idiot!
Thank goodness for the guy in the toilet.
Yes, the other guy's yelling out about right triangles. That is actually a direct quote from Wizard of Oz. They don't call it out in Wizard of Oz. They just,
because it's just the Scarecrow trying to prove he's smart, right?
You're right. Correct.
Okay.
Wow. We cut to it's doc. Those are Dr. Henry Kissinger's glasses.
A really weird deep cut for the city.
Yeah, why is he visiting the nuclear plant? Is that ever?
I don't think so.
Mr. Burns is a powerful man. Maybe, you know, he's, you know, Dr. Kissinger and him are, you know, associates. They know each other, perhaps.
For those historians out there listening to us, let us know if this is funnier than we're making it out today, because we don't really get it.
I like it. You know, I think the funniness is that how dry Dr. Kissinger is, and, like, even he can't say, I dropped my glasses in the toilet.
he's too proud.
He has too much, you know, he's a very kind of ostentatious fella. We cut to a news, well, Homer's wearing the glasses everywhere. Not good for you. Shouldn't do that.
It hurts your eyes.
It does. It not good. But they see a news report on the unemployment office.
Joblessness is no longer just for philosophy majors. Useful people are starting to feel the pinch.
I haven't been able to find a job in 6 years.
Huh. And what training do you have?
5 years of modern dance, 6 years of tap.
Poor Barney.
I know. That's quite some training he's got there.
I know. He's a Barney. Why haven't we never seen the Barney as a dancer episode?
Well, we see Barney as an artiste when he makes his short film, but no actual dancing. And that's an episode. So if you're out there listening, Simpsons writers, Barney is a dancer. That's some solid ground to mine.
I know. That's Barney as a dancer. Just do that. That's an episode. It's like Flashdance, but with Barney.
Ooh, even better.
See? Like the town's like, you know, Lovejoy's like, no, no dancing. Barney's like, no,
that would
dance.
Be a great episode.
Dancing. Yeah, look. We just pitched a great episode, Matt. It's on our spec script list. We need to start getting these, pumping these out.
For real.
But the town is feeling a pinch. Unemployment is up. You know, Springfield looks like a dump. We've been shown. So they have a town meeting to try and, I guess, solve the problem. And though the mayor, Quimby, just wants to leave town with money. And like, that's his solution to the problem.
So he wants to move to a more prosperous town and then send for the rest of everyone else. I don't think that's how it works.
But actually, Skinner... Principal Skinner has not a bad idea. He says, why don't we legalize gambling? It should.
Uh-oh.
We have a podcast appearance.
Oh, no.
He wants, why don't we legalize gambling?
Cat, no, shh, quiet.
Why don't we legalize, I'll start one more time. Why don't we legalize gambling? That should, you know, we could, it could help bring more people into the area, help our economy. And everyone's for it. The whole town, hip hip hooray, yeah, rah, rah. But then they all look to Marge. You know, the show has gone on long enough. Now that we have kind of an idea of Marge as the party pooper, as Marge as the voice of, like, moral objection. But instead, she's like, no, I think it would be a good idea. I think it would help our economy. And everyone celebrates. And apparently all it takes is like that. And then immediately the town kind of like sinks into like a moral cesspool. Like everyone's drinking and being bawdy. There's bawdy music playing on the streets. Like it's just everyone's just being, they're not doing anything in particular that's bad. It's just kind of, you get that feeling that it is.
Yeah, it's random and feels kind of weird, but hey, why not?
Yeah, it's basically, I think it's supposed to, my feeling is that it's just like everyone acts like that anyway, but because suddenly gambling's legal, everything goes, you know, to hell in a handbasket. But short first act, we go to commercial.
And when we come back, we see Mr. Burns, he apparently has decided that he is going to build the casino, as we saw at the very end of Act 1. And he's checking out the waterfront, which those of you who play Tapped Out know is a hellish place where it takes forever to build out. But, you know, and he's reminiscing about his boyhood days when he apparently crippled people for fun.
Never forget my kid boy in this old boardwalk.
Why, you? Master Burns! Carry on!
My legs, my kippy! Who'll provide for me, little one?
And then Mr. Burns continues on laughing for almost another full minute about that poor crippled Irishman.
You didn't pull a minute of laughter, Matt?
I did not, because that seemed a little boring. It's a very visual gag. You see him throughout the time. But I like to point out this means that there was electricity when Burns was young. So in our sliding scale of how old is Mr. Burns, apparently there was electricity.
Well, I don't know. His baseball team is made up of players that were playing in the 1870s.
Well, that's true. But like I said, in this case, he was a child and there was electricity.
This specific episode.
Yes. In this episode. We then see Mr. Burns finishes his laughing when the designers come in with ideas for his casino, and they are some real winners.
Currently, designers are here with some prototypes for your casino.
Gentlemen, I give you Britannia! Gambling with all the glitz and glamour of the British Isles! Best of all, the waitresses and showgirls are all real Brits! Fresh from the streets of Sussex, they are!
Fresh in the drink, Governor!
Get out.
Okay, all right, wait, now dig this, man.
Get out.
Wow, let me just get my head together.
No! I'll need 3 ships and 50 stout men. We'll sail round the Horn and return with spices and silk, the likes of which ye have never seen.
We're building a casino.
Can you give me 5 minutes?
Idiots. I'll design it myself. I know what people like. It's got to have sex appeal and a catchy name.
And apparently that sex appeal is a Mr. Burns mermaid, and the name is Mr. Burns' Casino. Because despite what he thinks, Mr. Burns is terrible at design, but it doesn't matter. People flock to the casino.
Yeah, they don't. It can be called anything, honestly. It's the only game in town.
Exactly. No one cares because, hey, it's a casino. It's enough. We then cut to what is essentially the backstory, the B story of this episode, where Lisa has a state pageant, I guess, which seems really weird, but, you know.
I don't know. There was a lot of, and she's as a second grader.
That's true. They're trying to teach them the states by making them dress up as them, I guess.
Yeah, and, like, they probably have to give a little report, like, you know, written report about that state. Like, you know, it's not that far-fetched. Mm-hmm. I had to do a lot of dumb stuff.
It seems like a lot of work for a second grader to do, even with parental involvement.
Yeah, I don't know.
But anyway, Marge suggests Lisa go as Nevada, but apparently Nevada makes Lisa's butt look big. So instead she goes as Florida, our wonderful home state, because she enjoys orange juice and old people love her. Which is true. That's all we have here is orange juice and old people and the occasional theme park.
OJ is more and more California, where we are.
That's true.
There's less and less oranges. It's definitely more tourism and old people now than OJ.
It just doesn't get cold enough here for the oranges to grow correctly. Or too cold. I forget which.
No, honestly, I think it's that the space that you would use to grow the orange juice is more valuable by building homes for old people to live in on top of the, instead of having, you know, in the same space you could grow like 100 oranges, you could build a $400,000 house that sell to a retired person.
That is a good point. We move on from Lisa going as Florida to where Homer is now a blackjack dealer. at the casino, and he is the worst blackjack dealer of all time. He just continually hits until he busts.
Well, he goes past it. He gets to like 36, which that don't think that's possible playing blackjack.
I'm pretty sure you could if you just continually hit once you bust.
No, once you're on 20, you hit, and then you could get conceivably like 30 or 31 in a certain
31
ace, the ace in specific cases. But
the ace is worth 1, so
no, it's worth 1 or 11.
Right, but in that case, wouldn't you be like, oh, it's obviously worth 1.
So no, but it's Homer.
That's true. Anyway,
but that's what I'm saying. Like, then it would be over. Like, you can't continue to hit after you bust it. But
well, the dealer makes the rules, and Homer's the dealer.
That's very true.
But apparently, it has been Homer's lifelong dream to be on a blackjack dealer. So now he is.
No, it was his lifelong dream to be on the Gong Show, and you did that.
Well, true, but he's had a lot of lifelong dreams. He's also had a lifelong dream to run out onto a field, and where he was the idiot who ruined the game. But Homer is, of course, playing with the Rich Texan, which is our first appearance of the Rich Texan, who gives Homer his hat that he wore the day Kennedy was shot, and it's always brought him good luck.
That's really terrible. And he calls
Homer, if you're a conservative, that was probably a good day for you.
I don't know. I don't think any time a president gets shot is a good day. Homer calls him senator as well, which I believe they retcon that eventually, where he's just a rich oil baron, basically.
He might become senator. You know, he gets bored one day. Like, I'm going to run for senator this year. And if it's Texas, he'll probably get it.
I don't know. It's possible.
Anyway, moving on, we have Otto come into the casino where he meets heavyweight boxer Jerry Cooney, who is a greeter. And when Cooney comes on a little too strong for Otto, Otto punches him in the face and Cooney goes down. I could make a lot of bad jokes, but he goes down immediately. So apparently he has a heck of a glass jaw for an ex-heavyweight boxer.
Jerry Cooney was he was kind of a flash in the pan, won the championship, then lost it relatively soon. I think it's nice that he's kind of been forgotten at this point. I think at that time he still would have been like, oh yeah, the old boxer. At this point, no one remembers Jerry Cooney, mainly because boxing is kind of, you know, not culturally relevant anymore for the most part. It's much, you know, MMA, UFC is much more kind of culturally relevant now. In if we're gonna have a combat sport, boxing
that's
is
true.
Boxing is kind
even
of
famous boxer. There's like two boxers people know, and that's pretty much it.
Name but, two boxers, Matt.
Manny Pacquiao and Floyd Mayweather.
That's
only two I know.
That's you're
what?
How do you say his name again, Matt?
Manny Pacquiao. I've never heard it pronounced. I've only seen it in print.
Manny Pacquiao is his name.
Yeah, sure, whatever.
Manny Pacquiao is that guy's name. Yes, he fought Floyd Mayweather. That was a big bout. That's about, yeah. Floyd Mayweather is those two guys are probably the, there's a few others I can name probably because there's a big fight last night, which is why it's on the top of my head, but. Not for the most part, MMA is much more relevant at the time at now. So, but Jerry Cooney doesn't take himself seriously in this. You know, he lets him make fun of him. He actually in his latter day has helped retired boxers find jobs. Like he's helped to start an organization that does that. So that's good.
So he's a pretty awesome person, is what you're saying.
Yeah, it's a good job.
But moving on from Mr. Cooney, we see Grandpa as the typical old man in the casino. He's taking forever and, just rambling on before he actually shoots the dice. And then somehow manages to get one of the dice in his shoe, which this is just a real throwaway gag, but I thought it was pretty funny at the time. We then move on to Gunter and Ernst, a very obvious Siegfried and Roy parody, I'm pretty sure when Roy got attacked by the tiger, this was long after this episode.
Oh, much, way after. But they've got, in this, in their first appearance, they kind of predict that that tiger attacked. And it's not crazy. And that's basically what the writers have all said. They're like, come on, what do you think's going to happen? It's a tiger. You know, they're not house cats. You can't train, no matter how much training you put them through, they're wild animals at heart, and something's going to happen. And it eventually did, but it was much later. I think it was in the 2000s, I want to say.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And this is 93. So, you know, but
they predicted it by probably a decade or so.
Yeah, but it's, you know, eventually.
Anyone could have predicted that.
Yeah, it's going to happen. But it's still great. It's very still memorable.
A good gag, because in this case, no one's permanently hurt, as we'll see later.
Yeah.
But we then move on to Robert Goulet arrives, and well, you'll see.
Woohoo! Jackpot!
Wait a minute. Are you over 21?
Are you?
I'm not authorized to answer that.
By the way, your martinis suck!
Oh, yeah? What are you going to do? Start your own casino? In your treehouse? And get all your little friends to come? I'd like to see that!
Oh, yeah, welcome. Have a lucky day. Mm-hmm.
Well, he certainly showed me.
Poor squeaky voice teen, always underestimating Bart.
It's squeaky voice teen is like suddenly like a casino like tough. Is that what how he's like?
He's just one of those guys who hangs out on the floor and kicks people out who are being, you know,
rowdy. We're underage.
Yes. But as you see, Bart starts his own casino, and we are on to what is essentially our C story. That's kind of related to the A story. Yeah, we'll come back to that in a second. But then we see Marge dropping by to see Homer. And, of course, Homer thinks Marge opposed the casino because he has a photographic memory. And then I really wanted to pull this clip, but it's really more of a visual gag because it's Homer remembering Marge being super naggy and having green hair and having curlers in her hair and a rolling pin and talking about the evils of legalized gambling, while Homer is incredibly muscled and skinny and takes a call from the president. Everything okay there?
It's fine. Cat's attacking the Christmas tree.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Of course, Marge is upset by Homer's obviously fake recollections, so she goes to leave and finds a quarter someone left on the ground, and she starts to play slots, where she wins, and she continues to play and play and play, when she essentially gets stuck there. So apparently Marge has quite the gambling problem. But we cut away from this before Marge spends too much time to see Milhouse the Magician in Bart's casino, where he is attempting to do the rabbit out of his hat thing with cats. And there's a reason they use rabbits and not cats. That's poor Milhouse finds out.
Those
the cats proceed to shred him.
I completely forgotten about that. But that when I, you see Milhouse open the box and there's trying to get the cat in the box, and then the cat out of his hat comes out and they both attack him at the same time. And then the crowd of kids just start, they do the very courteous applause. So good. So good.
So great. Another joke comes along. We see the Rain Man at Homer's table, and when he starts to get upset and hit himself, Homer does the same thing. So obviously Rain Man is autistic, Homer is just stupid, at least as far as we can tell. We then see Burns is at the casino and has morphed into Howard Hughes, where he is watching everything through monitors. His fingernails and toenails have gotten super long, and his beard has started to grow. He's saving jars of urine. Toenail clippings, yes. Got to save those when he does actually go through them. We then see Gunter and Ernst, who are apparently fine after their tiger attack. They're hitting on a hick when they ignore the tiger, who then tries to eat Maggie. So apparently that tiger really needs to be released back into the wild and get out of show business. But luckily for Maggie, Barney is there to save her, who immediately gives her back to Marge, who, again, puts Maggie back on the floor and goes back to gambling, because that's what happens when you're a gambling addict. And when Barney calls this... Go ahead.
So when you're in the throes of Gambler.
Of course, Gambler. His shiny neon claws. Barney calls this classic compulsive behavior. And of course, he immediately sees some cups, starts drinking them all, and accidentally swallows a whole bunch of quarters, which he then begins to burp up. Again, everyone's like, oh, he's paying off. And... Yeah, they're picking up the quarters.
I don't want those quarters.
Nope. But then we move on to Krusty, who is apparently performing in a very adult act at the comedy club of the casino.
I don't want to hit a sore spot, but can we talk about herpes? Herpes, herpes, bo, burpees, banana, fana, fo, herpes, herpes. Oh, hey, that spot on Gorbachev's head? Herpes, trust me. Anybody here have herpes? Huh? Huh? You people are the worst audience I've ever seen.
Well, you're the worst comedian we've ever seen.
Oh, great. Well, we'll just sit here silently for the next 90 minutes.
Fine with us.
Which is it's par for the course for poor Krusty.
Yeah, he's not a great stand-up comedian in general.
He's not a great comedian in general, but his stand-up is extra bad.
But that show is, I guess, a reference to a Bill Cosby album. that was for adults only. It was called For Adults Only, which was recorded at a casino at midnight.
That sounds extra creepy now.
Yeah, exactly. Not even, it's much worse now. That's extra bad. yeah. That, and there's a, I did want to point out that the Yoko Ono, that I don't think they ever named, Barney's Japanese girlfriend from Homer's Barbershop Quartet is in the audience in when for Krusty's show. So she makes an appearance.
And I'm pretty sure this is her last appearance. Did they ever see her again?
I don't remember, but I didn't remember her being here. So what do I know?
That's true. We then cut back to Mr. Burns and Smithers, where Mr. Burns is getting incredibly antsy because of the germs on Smithers' face.
The evolution of Howard Hughes and how he started going crazy.
Yeah. And then we...
Freemasons run the country, Matt.
Well, it's true. The germs told me. We then go to Homer leaving the casino after his shift and trying to take Marge with him, but Marge doesn't want to leave, and apparently Homer is bad luck. So Homer thinks this is a knock on him for Marge not wanting the gambling, and so he just leaves. He says it's sad and leaves, and then we get to commercial.
When we come back, we see the house falling apart without Marge. We've seen this before. Homer alone, I think, is the main culprit. But, you know, without her there, they can't do anything. Smithers and a couple goons come and check on Marge.
What?
Excuse me, ma'am. Don't you think you've gambled enough?
No.
Okay. We're required by law to ask every 75 hours. Get another free drink.
That's great. Marge is in the zone. They don't have... Lisa is trying to eat breakfast, honestly, and Homer's solution, not great.
There's nothing to eat for breakfast.
You gotta improvise, Lisa. Cloves, Tom Collins mix, frozen pie crust.
Maybe Mom just doesn't realize we miss her. We could go down to the casino and let her know.
Aw, come on, Lisa. There's no reason to... Let's go see Mom.
That's worse than the moon waffle.
Yeah, the Tom cloves and Tom Collins mix apparently is just Tom Collins is a drink with gin, like a lemon, simple syrup, and like carbonated water. So Tom Collins mix is everything but the gin, I'm guessing, which would make it like a weird kind of lemonade-ish thing. But that with cloves and a pie crust, that sounds terrible. But the family confronts Marge. And at first glance, it seems to work. She's like, yeah, sure, that's fine. But, you know, it doesn't really work. And then Lisa, and it's in the night, Lisa goes to Homer saying that she's worried about a boogeyman. And apparently Homer has a shotgun here. You know,
for some reason.
Yeah, for some reason. You know, was it a... what's the gun episode, Matt?
The Cartridge Family.
Cartridge Family, right. This is a very early precursor to that, apparently. And Homer quickly wakes up Bart, grabs Maggie, and barricades the house with a shotgun. He has a table set up, like, tipped over in front of the front door. Apparently, there are holes in the door when Marge gets home. This is another step, and they need her.
Otherwise, bad things happen.
Yeah, I believe Homer's words are, "You let me be how stupid I am." Like he needs help controlling his idiocy. Robert Goulet finally does arrive. Bart poaches him from Mr. Burns' casino. I guess just because Bart is there. No one's sent to pick up from Mr. Goulet from the Burns Casino, so Bart takes that opportunity. Because Marge is still gambling, Homer is forced to make Lisa's costume, which is the state of Florida. He does a very poor job. Lisa's words, "I'm not a state, I'm a monster." And so Homer declares war on Gamblor.
I'm not a state? I'm a monster!
No, Lisa. The only monster here is the gambling monster that has enslaved your mother. I call him Gamblor, and it's time to snatch your mother from his neon claws.
Gamblor. And at this point, Homer goes to the casino on a mission. He's no longer being polite to Marge. They're no longer just like trying to ease her away from the gambling. He goes there. He freaks out. We have a scene where Burns is watching all the monitors and Homer is popping up on every single one. He is apparently very lucky, as contrary to what Marge said earlier, because he rolls double sevens and craps. He spins the roulette wheel, or not? It's not roulette, is it? I forget what.
No,
it was.
It's like a shitty sideshow attraction.
Yeah, but double zeros wins. Everyone wins.
Homer's good luck for everyone in the casino, apparently.
Yeah, and then finally he finds Marge.
Don't go to run again for an arrow.
Homer, what is it? Slow down.
You're gonna further red arrow.
Think before you say each word.
You broke a promise to your child.
What?
You promised Lisa to help her with her costume. You made her cry. Then I cried. Then Maggie laughed. She's such a little trooper.
Lisa's costume. Homer, I didn't realize. I'm so sorry.
Marge, I want you to admit you have a gambling problem.
You know, you're right, Homer. Maybe I should get some professional help.
No, that's too expensive. Just don't do it anymore.
Well, that's totally how it works. You just stop doing it.
Yeah, you just stop, and it always works. Burns kind of comes to his senses to a certain extent before he orders Smithers to jump into his model plane. I said hop
in. Bruce Moose, just hop in, otherwise I'll shoot you.
Lisa and Ralph win the award for the costume that the parents obviously did not help them with at school.
Yeah.
Ralph, all he has is a piece of paper that says Idaho.
That's my costume, dang it.
it's so good. Homer and Marge walk away from the casino. Homer being kind of a jerk, honestly, he's lording over her problem. Over her, and Marge is like, you can't do that. He's like, oh, I'm sorry. And that's how the episode ends. It's a good one.
It is. It's a very good one. I there are some very memorable moments. It's funny. There's the heartfeltness we enjoy in the classic Simpsons episodes with the whole Marge and Lisa and Homer thing. It overall is really good.
Yeah. If I had a complaint, it would be that it's a little bit kind of everywhere.
It's a little scattered, yeah.
Yeah, they do. To counterpoint that, it is extremely dense with gags. Like, the jokes just do not stop. I feel like the Marge kind of impact stuff doesn't hit as hard as it could, maybe, but we're going to have to hash that out in best episode ever, I think.
That's true. Although, one of the nice things about this episode, and it's not really from this episode, but later on, several episodes allude to Marge having a gambling problem. So this is the beginning of that, is the foundation, and it's one of those things that sticks with the characters. And I would love to go back and watch episodes where certain long-running character traits are established, and this is one of them.
Yeah, but we will rank it at the end of the show. No submissions for my favorite episode. If you have a favorite episode, simply email us at simpsonsshowpod@gmail.com explaining why a certain episode is your favorite, and I'll read it on air when we get to it. Moving on to our next segment, it is time, once again, for comments from the news group.
Okay, here we are. Alt.nerd.obsessive.
Comments from the news group is where I will comb through the old alt.tv.simpsons news group archived on Google Groups from the couple weeks surrounding the debut of an episode and see what was up on the internet in 1993 or whenever. Same stuff as always. I mean, like, is this episode a good episode, Matt?
I would say yes. I'm sure the news group thought otherwise.
Some people thought it was good. Others people thought it was the worst one yet. And
you'll always find somebody, I guess.
Yeah, exactly. And also, this has been going on for a while, but it seems to be coming to a head. People are, you know, after every episode, people would post. You know, there used to be just one person who did it, and now as obviously the show got more popular, or at least more popular with the fans on this news group, the news group got more people in it. They would post an episode guide after the episode came out, kind of similar to what we're doing, honestly. You know, talking about this is a reference to this, this is a reference to this, here's some quotes, here's some stuff about the episode, et cetera, et cetera. And now people are getting upset because some people think everything is a reference to something.
Yeah. Like, I don't know what this is, but it's probably a reference to something, I guess.
Yeah, and I mean, in a lot of cases, I mean, obviously, Simpsons are jam-packed with cultural references, but they're stretching at times. But
are you sure about this?
Yeah, and then people are getting upset about that, and then back and forth. It's a whole thing. But other than that, you know, it's I nothing crazy, nothing else in the news at the time. I think they saw Harry Shearer in Wayne's World 2, so they were excited about that. Which 2 is fine, 1's better.
Obviously, everyone knows that.
Everyone. But I think that will do it for that. Next segment, Matt, it is time for listener question of the week.
Let's try one more number.
Yellow?
KBBL is going to give me something stupid.
Well, hot dog, we have a wiener.
Yellow?
Our listener question of the week this week is, what is your favorite sexual innuendo from the show? Ooh la la. Yeah, got some good answers from you guys. Again, great job out there submitting answers. I wish I had time to read them all. Getting flooded with them. I really appreciate it. Keep it up, you guys. First, we have Matt at Matt Henshaw 11. Hello, Smithers. You're quite good at turning me on. You should probably ignore that. Stephanie,
please do.
Yeah, Stephanie at SMG 0014. I think women and semen don't mix. Oh, we know what you think. 2 weeks in a row, we got that submitted for two different questions.
Smithers.
Yes, we have Justin at JM McGuire SN. Backdoor Shenanigans. Matt, are you looking at this right now?
No.
Look at it, because we're going to do a little performance.
Oh, God. Okay.
You be Mr. Burns, you want to be Homer?
I'll be Homer.
Okay. I'll be Burns. We don't have to be adversaries, Homer. We both want a fair union contract.
Why is Mr. Burns being so nice to me?
And if you scratch my back, I'll scratch yours.
Wait a minute. Is he coming on to me?
I mean, if I should slip something in your pocket, what's the harm?
My God, he is coming on to me.
After all, negotiations make strange bedfellows. Wink.
Sorry, Mr. Burns, but I don't go in for these backdoor shenanigans. Sure, I'm flattered. Maybe even a little curious. But the answer is no. Oh, boy.
That is a good one. George at Pompeii, George, favorite innuendo. Trios of Horror 11, Master and Cadaver. The comedy noises from Homer's cell phone made me giggle like a girl. Mitchell, a.k.a. Darts at Mitchell Darts. Should I whack slow or whack fast? And Mrs. Kravopoulos, she's faking it. Norman, formerly Chucks. That's Sneed's Feed and Seed, formerly Chucks. It took me a long time to get that reference.
Yeah.
It's real. That's really bad.
Did not notice that for a very long
time. Zach, Agnes and Principal Skinner. Seymour, are you looking at naked ladies? No, mother. You sissy. Nick's answer, my favorite sexual innuendo moment would have to be in Life on the Fast Lane when Homer picks up Marge, takes her out the door, and tells his coworkers he's going to the backseat of his car and won't be back for 10 minutes. Kind of funny and weirdly touching at the same time. It's true. It is, you know, it's both. I think that's one of the best things about that. Is that somehow they managed to marriage that kind of like that weird sexy joke with like, oh, that's sweet. Abby, tonight his honor is pulling the electorate. Did not get this joke until I listened to the commentary on this episode, and I heard the writers talk about how they couldn't believe they got it past the censors. Gaspar's answer, very simple, Rowdy Roddy Peeper. That's good. Diego, when the Simpsons interpret the Iliad, upon the arrival of the Trojan horse, Ned Flanders, who plays a Greek general, says every time someone receives wood, they'll think about the Trojans. And Jackson's answer, do you find something funny with the word tromboner? Yes. Yes.
A little bit, yeah.
I like the word. It's a good word.
Nothing we didn't say constantly when I was in high school, but, you know, still a good joke.
Tromboner. Matt, what is your answer?
I'm going to have to go with, should I whack fast or slow? It's hilarious, and it involves both Homer and Marge. It's the best.
My favorite is in, was it Natural Born Kissers? I believe, mm-hmm. where Homer and Marge, you know, kind of reignite their relationship, go a little, be dangerous. It's actually a visual gag when they're naked on the run in the mini golf, from the mini golf area, and they get right behind the lawn, like lawn ornaments things. And
I know what you're talking
about. Homer in front, right in front of his bikini area, is His little guy's
his
song.
His bikini area? Really? His bikini area? That's what you're going for here.
Come on, Matt. I'm trying to, you know, we're a Christian podcast. I'm trying to, you know, keep it PG. Okay. Keep it PG. And there's a little guy's sawing a log. And Homer remarks something about not feeling safe.
Yeah, I can see why.
I love it so much. That whole episode's really good. It's either that or the Simpson and Sons Revitalizing Tonic episode.
Yeah.
Because that's
the whole episode was one giant
sex joke. Next week's question: what is your favorite moment involving money?
Ooh,
it's tricky, but I trust you guys come up with great answers. You always do. You can find this question at our social media. Social media being Facebook, facebook.com/TheSimpsonsShowPod, on Twitter at SimpsonsShowPod. Again, you can email us at SimpsonsShowPod@gmail.com. Reach out to us at any of those places. Like us. Follow us. We have great fans, great interactions, great kind of community stuff going on there occasionally. I really like it. Really appreciate all of that. Next up, Matt, it is time for our weekly showdown. Dun, dun, oh, yeah. Dun. It is time for the No Google Trivia Challenge.
I am too smart. I am too smart. S-M-R-T. I mean S-M-A-R-R-T.
The No Google Trivia Challenge is where Matt and I will try and stump the other with trivia questions. One easy, one medium, and one hard question. This season, season 5, we have a wager. We have stakes. Whoever loses at the end of the year with our carefully calculated point system will have to drink an awful concoction of various Simpson food items mixed together, that something we're calling a milkshake.
And they are awful.
Yeah, it's going to be disgusting, I'm guessing. There's going to be a beer in there, and that is probably going to, I don't know, overwhelm most of the flavor, but I'm sure that, plus the consistency of a lot of the other stuff, is going to be disgusting.
Ugh.
So Matt is currently in the lead, 33-31. Just got to keep it close. Can't let you pull away from me, because otherwise I'm done for.
Yeah.
I'm going to start us off, Matt. You ready for an easy question?
I'm ready. Hit me.
I have a theme of my own. It's very simple.
Okay.
You'll figure it out. What color is the pearl necklace Marge almost always wears?
White.
White? Pearl necklace is white? What, Matt? Did you just get a question wrong? Nope, it's red. Red necklace.
Oh, man.
Are you throwing questions? You throwing questions, Matt? I don't want you sandbagging
no,
me.
No, no. I was thinking of Lisa's pearls for some reason.
Okay. Well, luckily, it's only one.
Yeah.
All right, Matt, give me an easy question.
All right. What animal or animals defends Mr. Burns' house?
Dogs. Guard dogs. Dobermans, I believe.
The hounds.
The hounds, yeah.
All right.
How many times did Marge vote for Jimmy Carter?
Twice.
That is correct.
It's a trick question. Don't know how she voted twice. Maybe she cast Homer's vote.
Who knows? Give me a question. Right.
I also have a theme. You'll probably get it after this question.
Okay.
Name 5 of the kids that auditioned to be Mr. Burns' heir.
5 of the kids. Okay. Milhouse.
Mm-hmm.
Martin.
Yep.
Nelson.
Uh-huh.
Does Bart actually audition?
Does he?
Yeah, I don't know. I know those are 3. I'm trying to think. What's the name of that sickly kid?
You mean Wendell?
Yeah, Wendell. Is he an audition?
He does not know.
Okay. I don't know. This is a tough one, Matt. You said this was going to be an easy round for me. This is a medium question.
If I tell you the answer, you're gonna just kick yourself in the head.
Probably. No, let's see. There's an adult axe. Is it? Oh, wait. Ralph, right? Ralph's in there?
I believe Ralph is in there, yes.
Ralph's in there? Okay. One more. How does Bart end up in that job, in the hair position? I think he doesn't actually audition. He just kind of falls into who is the last kid?
I'm going to impose a time limit here.
Okay.
Ten more seconds.
Okay. Lisa?
That is correct. Yeah. Bart does audition because, hey, Mr. Burns, or Mr. Kearns, me need money now. Something's sick.
Right, right.
He probably reads Homer's script, but yes, right. It was Bart and Lisa. So.
Yeah! I scrambled my way through that one. Okay, Matt, your hard question. Are you ready for this?
Oh, yeah, kind of, sort of.
How, this is in Marge and Chains. I'll give you a reference point. How tall is Marge, including her hair?
Oh, including her hair.
This is Apu notes that she's this tall.
6'8".
Close, no cigar. You actually reversed the numbers. It is 8'6".
Oh, man. Damn it.
With her hair, which means her hair is 3 foot tall?
Apparently. That's some tall hair.
Yeah.
Didn't look that at all.
Okay, Matt. Hard question.
If you get this, I'm in big trouble.
Mm-hmm, sure.
All right. Name the two films Mr. Burns steals from in A Burns for All Seasons.
Nothing. I got nothing.
Nothing?
Nothing.
Sure.
Positive. Okay.
Fair enough. It is E.T. and Ben-Hur.
Yeah, I could not pull that.
Okay. So I actually, that was my second question. My first hard question, which I thought might have been too easy for you. What two movies beat Mr. Burns, both in the Springfield Film Festival and for the Oscar?
Oh, I can't remember. I can't remember one. Was it Barney's film that won the Springfield Film Festival? Or was it Man Getting Hit and Growing with Football?
I don't know.
I don't know, Matt. That's what I'm saying.
Okay, well, I will save that question for next time, for a future time, and hope you don't look it up.
Okay, sure. I hope you don't wait too long, otherwise we'll watch those episodes.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so let's look. We got to look at the score. We both missed a hard question, but Matt got a brain fart. But I don't. Is that what does that give us?
That puts
no,
1 point.
You apiece. Yeah, Matt. You are still ahead by 1 point. 35 to 34. I have some more questions for you. These are from John,
all right,
who hosts a trivia night himself, and he has sent us a bunch of questions. I am going to give you rapid-fire Season 1 themed questions, all right?
Ooh, Season 1, rough. Okay.
When Christmas shopping, what present does Homer buy Marge at Circus of Values?
No idea.
Six-pack of pantyhose. In The Call of the Simpsons, Homer is mistaken as what creature?
Bigfoot.
Correct. Bart uses his spy camera to capture an image of Homer dancing with what exotic dancer?
Princess Cashmere.
Correct. What is the name of the foreign exchange student that moves in with the Simpsons?
A Deal.
Correct. What is Sideshow Bob's children's talk show exploring pre-adolescent turmoil?
Oh, Cavalcade of Whimsy?
Choices. Why is Lisa refusing to play dodgeball at school?
She is too sad.
Correct. What movie series depicts, in Marge's words, killing innocent people and eating human flesh?
Space Mutants 4?
Space Mutants is fine. Okay. At the family's therapy center, Dr. Marvin Monroe has the Simpsons draw the reasons for their unhappiness. Everyone to Homer draws a picture of Homer. What does Homer draw?
No idea.
An airplane! Who's the kid's babysitter in Some Enchanted Evening?
Mrs. Botts.
Correct. Herman, alternate declaration of war from what conflict for Bart's war against Nelson Muntz?
The Franco-Prussian War?
Correct! Pretty good job, Matt. Thank you. You got missed 2 out of 10. You had 80. Solid B minus. But there are more, and we have quite a back catalog of questions to work with.
Sweet.
If you guys want to send us more, I welcome them. And obviously, if you want to give us a theme suggestion, something we can center our questions around, you can send those in as well. Any of our social media places are great for that, Facebook or Twitter or email, or people will be using the contact form on the website, which actually works now. People often use it thinking that we are actual representatives of The Simpsons. And tell us to not what they. I've gotten people insulting us for changing the show. I've got people thanking us for making the show. I've got people asking me for stickers from the show. a lot of other things. Obviously, people listening to this don't have that problem. But I don't know how much clearer I can make it that we are a podcast. And not the actual show.
Sorry, guys.
Yeah, I know. It's rough. It is time for our final segment, Matt. It is time for Best Episode Ever.
Best Episode Ever.
Best Episode Ever is a part of the show where Matt and I will rank the episodes categorically as we watch them chronologically, eventually compiling a list of every episode ever and how good they are. Where is this one, Matt? What do you think?
Oh, this is... It's hard.
I can tell you this. This came to me like immediately.
Mm-hmm.
Another episode about gambling, about relationships. Lisa the Greek,
mm-hmm.
better than this.
Lisa the Greek better than this episode, you're saying?
Yes, that's what I'm saying.
I would agree.
Okay.
I feel
and
like
that's number 17.
Also, I also feel like A Streetcar Named Marge is fairly similar, and I feel like that is better than this.
I think it is definitely more emotionally powerful. I don't know if it's not as good. That's funny. True. I don't. This is much funnier than A Streetcar Named March.
That's true. The reason I always hold Streetcar Named March up so high is mainly because of the songs and all the references to literature and classic movies. And
yeah,
I think those are really
that's true. This is...
But there are quite a few. You're right. This episode just has a lot more just random jokes thrown in, and they're good jokes. They still make me laugh after all these years. So.
It's well,
definitely gonna be somewhere around there.
Yeah, Streetcar Named March is number 21. Boy Scouts on the Hood is right behind that, number 22. And then we have Colonel Homer at number 23.
Ooh.
Camp Krusty is number 24. I would say this is definitely better than Camp Krusty. So that is probably
definitely.
The low point would be 24. So we're looking somewhere from 18 to 24, basically.
Yeah. I'm trying to decide if it's better than Colonel Homer. Yeah, I think it's definitely funnier than Colonel Homer.
I think it's better than Colonel Homer.
Yeah, after thinking about it, I have to agree. It's definitely better than Colonel Homer. Boy Scouts in the Hood.
I don't think it's better than Boy Scouts in the Hood.
Really?
I think Boy Scouts in the Hood, I don't know. I don't know. They're close. They're probably very close to my mind. Boy Scouts in the Hood stands out in my memory more.
That's definitely true, yeah.
I don't know. Boy Scouts in the Hood benefits just from being basically Homer and Bart. For the most part,
right.
And this has a lot of stuff going on, which is not, I don't know, it's also, you could also point that out as a strong suit, and that this accomplishes, you know, you get a story about Bart in a casino, Marge a gambling problem, Homer working for the casino, Lisa struggles with her state, like, it has all the core family members, plus Burns and his weird thing with Howard Hughes, like, it has a lot of stuff going on for it, and, like, some could say that, oh, well, it's not tight, but also that, look how much it does, look at all the stuff that it manages to fit in. To the episode,
yeah.
Which I think it has that above Boy Scouts of the Hood, which doesn't really do nearly as much.
But it seems more concentrated. Everything is more focused, I feel like.
Yeah, but this is all centered around the casino. I mean, like, they don't really, aside from Lisa's story, which is about the side effects of that, like, everything else is Bart in a casino, Homer in a casino, Marge in a casino, Burns running a casino.
That's true, and I feel like, I guess if you count the Lisa pageant as a B story, it's related, but very tangentially. I think Boy Scouts in the Hood is better than this, but just barely.
Okay, I think they are very close in quality. They're both very good, so I can agree with you. It's not a hill I'm willing to die on.
Yeah.
So that would put Springfield, or How I Learned to Stop Worrying and Love Legalized Gambling, at number 23. On our list, I am just going to put Springfield. I'm not going to... Dollar Sprine, Ringfield. I am not going to put all that stuff. Because I don't want to type it all. But number 23 on our list, Cape Fear, is still number 1. 90th is Homer's Odyssey.
Still falling like a rock.
What is our next episode, Matt?
Let me check my list here. Thank you, Wikipedia. It is Homer the Vigilante. Sweet.
That's a good episode.
Yeah.
This is what I remember being much later than this. Like, I thought this was like a season seven episode. It does not strike me as a season 5 episode, but I really like this one. I know that it has Sam Neill in it. I always like Sam Neill.
Oh yeah.
But we will talk about that next week. Before we go, let's see. You can find this best episode ever list on our website. It is thesimpsonsshow.com. Has everything there. New episodes where you can stream or download them. Links to our Facebook, to our Twitter, to our RSS feed, if you want to listen to us through that. Links to our Patreon, if you want to throw us a couple bucks, we'd obviously appreciate it. And, ways to contact us, all that stuff, right there. You can find me on Twitter at Mixmaster Cereal. That's MixmasterCereal. And please check out my comic book podcast at Handsome Boys Comics Hour, handsomeboyscomicshour.com, on iTunes, etc. Matt does not participate in social media unless you're a certain level of Patreon backer. You will not find him.
That's true. However, I will be eating like crazy this holiday season, so if you start stuffing messages inside all sorts of turkeys and chickens, I will probably find it, especially stuffing. If you just stick a message in every box of stop stuffing, there's a good chance I will find it.
So you're advocating people literally put messages inside of turkeys in the grocery
inside
store.
The packaging.
Turkey doesn't have packaging, Matt. It's just plastic-wrapped turkey.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. All right. All right. With that, I am Robbie.
And I'm Matt.
And keep watching The Simpsons.
Shh.